Sermon. Address of E.G. White at St. George's Terrace, Melbourne, Australia. August 24th, 1892. Before coming to visit this building, I felt a deep interest in the work that would be accomplished here. From the very outset to the present time, I've been interested in this work. I could see how much could be done in the different lines of work to be carried on in cultivating the ability of the young men and women who should attend this school. I knew that if the ability of the youth in these colonies was recognized and disciplined, that we would not need to place so much dependence upon America to provide laborers for the field. As long as dependence was placed upon America to obtain help, I knew that you would not develop the ability you had among you. Young men and women have been sent to America from the colonies to obtain an education. But if it is necessary to send these youth to America for an education, it is necessary to have a school here, that they may be educated in the home field and not become lost to the world in these lands. It is not economy to send these young men and women to America, and we cannot afford to do it any longer, even if the advantages at first are not so numerous, the facilities not so abundant. The experience that will be gained in beginning the school here will be a compensation to the workers for the loss of these things. Those who stand by when the first advancement is made, when the first organized effort in this direction is begun, will gain a valuable experience. And every jot and tittle of ability, when sanctified to God, is needed in this field. You have parted with all you can afford to part with. In the sleepless nights I've passed, the company composing this school has been before me, and I have thought of one plan and another whereby the work might be begun and advanced. In a new enterprise of this kind, let no one imagine that we shall not meet with obstacles. Do you expect to engage in any part of the work of God and not meet obstacles? But when the prospect looks most forbidding, when it seems as if there is no one to press with you against the opposition and the way grows difficult, then it is time for you to be found on the scene of action, urging on the work. When success is yours, you can go to other fields, and as new enterprises are inaugurated under great disadvantages, you may be able to inspire courage, to tell the people to go forward and be able to lead the way. You can tell them, "I know how such enterprises are made successful. I was at Melbourne when just such an enterprise was begun there, and I saw how it was accomplished." Having gained such an experience, you can cope with difficulties, looking unto God, the author and finisher of your faith. You are to look to Him at every step. This is what we had to do in starting our educational work in other fields. Any enterprise that has for its object the dissemination of light and truth will be forwarded with difficulty. Do you imagine that the enemy is going to sit down, fold his hands, and go to sleep, and let you go on in peace? No, he will work upon human minds and make men his agents to introduce perplexities and obstacles. We would have those who are united in heart to work for the glory of God to come to the front and press on in the work. Let the workmen stand shoulder to shoulder, carrying forward the work with united hearts. It must not be supposed that those who have been brought up and trained in different ways will always view things in the same light, but we are not to be divided on that account. We are all bound up together in the web of humanity, and we must have our ability sanctified to God and be ready to roll a stone out of the way instead of placing some obstacle to hinder the advancement of the work. It is when the children of God forget the lesson of Christ that division comes into their ranks. They strive for the supremacy, thinking that they know more than do their brethren. When the disciples strove among themselves as to who should be greatest in the kingdom of heaven, Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Matthew 18, verse 3. The disciples could not enter the kingdom of God except as they became like little children. This is what we must become. Not children in understanding, for in understanding we are to be men, but in simplicity of spirit we are to be as children. We must be willing to learn our from the Heavenly Master. I would that all might realize in what a position we are placed here. The heavenly intelligences are interested in this gathering. They are interested in this enterprise. Think of this, and keep the spirit of criticism outside. Padlock the door against it. We want your help, not your criticism.
If God has given you a clearer understanding of some things than have your brethren, and you see where improvement could be made in their methods of management, go to them with the mind of Christ, in meekness and lowliness of heart, and tell them how you think matters may be improved. If you do all this, they will be blessed by your words. Heavenly intelligences are interested in this company, and I believe that light will shine here. The angels of heaven will ascend and descend, bringing spiritual light to this place. In a dream, Jacob beheld the mystic ladder, whose base was upon earth and whose top reached heaven. And he saw the angels of God ascending and descending upon it, while the glory of God streamed from heaven to earth. This ladder represented Christ and the ministry of angels in behalf of those who should be heirs of salvation. We are to become co-workers with Jesus, living agents through whom he can communicate light to others. Paul instructed Timothy concerning the way in which heavenly truth was to be disseminated. He said, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things which thou hast heard of me among my witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." 2 Timothy 2, verse 1, 2. This is our work. Every talent, all our ability, comes from heaven, and it is ours in trust. If we make a right use of it, we shall improve our talents by putting them out to exchangers. Ever remember that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. We may be taught of God, we may have instruction from the greatest teacher the world ever knew. A great work is to be done, and we need divine enlightenment. I wrote to America that if we had 100 workmen, we could find plenty of work for everyone in the great city of Melbourne. There is scarcely anyone proclaiming the truths so essential for the people to understand at this time, and we must have trained workers. In starting this schoolwork, you are to receive a training that will fit you for the work of God. Some may find it difficult to bring their minds to the task of comprehending that which they will be called upon to learn, but let no one become discouraged. At one time, a young man lived at my home. He kept my accounts, and feeling the need of an education, he asked my advice as to attending school. I said, "Go, by all means, and get all you can." But when he came home from school, he looked very sad, and when I asked what was the matter, the tears filled his eyes, and he said, "I have been educated for a farmer, and I cannot learn. I cannot get the machinery of the mind to work." "Are you going to give up?" I asked. "Well, what do you think?" he inquired. I said, "No. Make everything of yourself you can. You are at the lower end of the ladder, but climb it round by round, one round at a time. Put your mind to the task." He did so and conquered. He would not give up, and now he would not take any amount of money for what he has learned, for the discipline he has gained. In the name of the Lord, say, "I will conquer." But remember that the only true education is that which includes a knowledge of God. Jesus says, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." John 17, verse 3. In this small compass, the essence of true education is defined. Let the attainment of the knowledge of God be placed as of the first importance. Let the study of the Bible be counted as of chief advantage to you. The psalmist says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light,
it giveth understanding unto the simple. Psalm 119, verse 130. Let the Word of God find an entrance into your mind. Let the Spirit and power of God come upon you, and your intellect will be strengthened. For light will not only enter into the chambers of the mind, but flood the soul temple with glory. To have a connection with the God of power and wisdom is to be endowed with wisdom, and this privilege is ours, for when God gave Jesus, He gave all heaven in one rich gift. There is no limit to the resources at our command. The Lord says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." James 1, verse 5. Then ask and receive. Come to learn of God like a little child. Don't think you know it all, but as a learner, come in humility and be teachable. And while you keep that position, you will learn fast. God grant that you may understand what it is to know God and Jesus Christ, whom He hath sent.